famous Phil Henry show presents the Margaret Gray Players.
That's right, Margaret Gray Players. I'm General Galen Shaw.
And I'm Margaret Gray, of course.
I'm Robert Leonard. And, I'm Bud Dickman. I'm sorry. I'm General Galen Shaw.
And anyway, here's Phil Henry.
Thank you very much, Bud, and you all are a little bit slow on the cue. What's going on there? Well?
Oh, I don't think we're slow on the cue.
Yeah, I wouldn't say we're slow on the cue, unless, of course, you know, Dickman acting like a jive turkey. That's what I think. Hey, what are you talking about? I'm not doing anything wrong.
Yeah, you are. Sitting over there playing, you know, pocket pool.
What? Talking to me about playing the pocket pool and everything like that.
Well, that's what I think.
Well, hey, I got an idea. Why don't we just get into the show and not everybody...
That's a great idea, Robert. I was going to call you Bud. God almighty.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot. He's a black guy. I'm a white guy. Can't tell the difference.
Hey, cut it out. I'm going to just... Ow.
Break it up. Break it up. Well, anyway, hold on. This is the Margaret Gray Players, and this is a program that we do occasionally. And you'll hear us playing different characters. I am Phil Henry this evening, and we'll go around the horn here so everyone knows. Hello, Robert.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Henry? It's good to see you.
All right, and General Shaw.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I'm General Galen Shaw.
And, let's see, Bud Dickman?
Yes. I'm Bud Dickman. Hey, just remember to get my name right. Don't wear it out.
Oh, boy. Margaret?
You know what I gotta do? Kick your ass around the block for drill, just for kicks.
Hey, what are you talking about?
I really ought to. Hey.
I told you to break it up, and I'm Phil Henry. We've got a pretty good show in store for you today. We have, we'll have a visit from Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton will let us in on what else is going on there in West Virginia. We'll have Ted Bell and Rudy Canoza, and Steve Bozell is given a job, if you're ready for this one.
What?
Yes, Steve Bozell is giving a job to Chris Norton.
Are you kidding me, Mr. Henry? Oh, God. Oh, that's insane. Yeah, that's the dumbest thing what I ever did here. Boy.
Now, I'll tell you something right now. Somebody better get on the horn and call up Steve Bozell and let him know he's got the world's biggest jackball coming to work for him.
I think we would just wait and see if the jury is out on this thing.
Oh, yeah, the jury's out. Famous last words, Phil. That's all I have to say to you.
I just think the jury's out. Anyway, Chris Norton is looking for a job, and he's going to go to work for Steve Bozell.
It reminds me of the time that R.C. Collins, you know, was doing the internship.
Oh, God, he did that internship, you're right. That was a wreck. That whole thing was a cluster bang, and you know it.
Well, I don't know, General. It wasn't that bad. Sounded to me like it worked out pretty good.
Are you out of your mind or something? I'll tell you this right now. It was a jive, funky thing. So,
well, hey, you know something? You guys, we have got a big show rolled out, so we ought to get to it.
What is up with you anyway, Bud? Are you? I hope to God you're not doing anything, any kind of chemical thing.
Oh, my God, Bud, are you taking chemicals? Are you taking drugs?
What are you talking about, taking drugs? I never touched that stuff. That's the truth.
Oh, well, I don't know. Better probably pull your blood.
Yeah, pull his blood. Oh, I hate the way he said that.
What did he say?
Said pull.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You said pull. You, ow!
Stop that.
All right, this is a mess, and it's only going to get messier as I can see. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we are the Margaret Gray Players, and we're playing each other on the program here today. And if that isn't confusing enough, well, I don't know what else I can tell you. But right now, let's go over to Bob Bakian, and Bob Bakian is out there with the traffic to find out how things are going on the highways and byways. Bob?
All right, now I'm going to get out downtown, down to Clown Town. Thanks a lot. You know, when I see the LAPD, gonna hide and gonna grab the groin area. Now let's go over there to Skyboy.
I'm telling you right now, I got Sam Bob. I'm Skyboy. I'm out outside town. Let's get out there and look at a little bit of kind. It's Greek. I'm Greek. And I don't know if you know that I'm Greek. Let's go over now to Boyd, Sky Baby Sweet Fan. Goo goo gaga, goo goo and gaga. Gaga Goo Goo. You know, it's just, it's a Gaga Goo Goo kind of a deal. And, Goo Goo Gaga, Goo Goo Gaga. I'm Vernon Dozier. Fire!
Bonsai Flying School. Would you like to learn to fly and see the sights, see the heights, see all of the beautiful things that you can see flying in an airplane? Go to Bonsai Flying School. Here is Master Shrek.
You come to Bonsai Flying School. We teach you how to fly, fly like you've never flown before. We are going to lend you an airplane for 3 weeks. You'll learn, then bring the airplane back. You have to buy one of your own, but we lend you the airplane, and it's got just enough gas in it for you to take off but not land.
Bonsai Flying School. So many different things to learn. And after you learn to fly, you learn how to play this thing that the guy's playing. See this thing right here?
Driving me nuts. Stop it. Stop it.
Bonsai Flying School. You never had it so good.
Gasoline extra.
Yes, Rudy Canoza Lingerie.
Hello.
Hi, and me, I'm Rudy. And and at Rudy Canoza Lingerie, they have clothing that is light and lilting and silky, and you can see through it. And we got a lot of big women that come in, and they stretch the underwear. But, you know, I've got the foghorn. I blast that goddamn thing, excuse my language, you know.
Rudy Canoza's Yatim Lingerie in the San Fernando Valley.
Come on in and get into a pair of my panties. I mean, they'll be your panties. I would. At Rudy Canoza, I'm Rudy. Just at, oh, and here come the beautiful ladies now. You know, la, 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 la. Oh, give me a break.
Rudy Canoza Lingerie.
We're famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Phil Henry. Welcome back here to the Margaret Gray Players. And we're going to kick things off here. I think we've got Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. This is such a time of year of the spring season. Lots of vehicular traffic. People back out on the highways after their winter vacations. And they're also getting into some accidents out there. Let's say hello to Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay, thank you so much for joining the program.
My pleasure, Bill.
Jay, and I know Margaret is here as well.
Oh, hello, Jay. It's Margaret Gray.
Very good to meet you, Ms. Gray.
So, Jay, what extra precautions are you taking this year during these the spring months, you know?
Well, let me tell you something. I'm here to save lives. And one of the things about saving lives, Miss Henry, is that I got to make sure I got all these guys with the pith helmet, you know, the sub genius commanders, whatever the hell. And because I come from Baltimore, you know, I'm all about saving lives. So these guys go out on the highway, and we sit and we stare, and we see some little girl with, you know, the wrong kind of underwear. We'll drive up next to her and go, hey, you know that's the wrong kind of underwear. And if they give us a hard time, we'll go, fuck it. And we just drive on. Because that's what we do. That's what we do.
All right. Well, you know, you don't have to put it so graphically, Jay.
Oh, my goodness, Jay. What seems to be your major malfunction?
Yeah. What is going on with you? I'll tell you something, Collins.
Collins?
I mean, Santos. You know, I've never liked all of your lording it over people. You're not military. You're not police. You're a volunteer police agency.
You know, agency?
Agency is what I said. Get me some cottage cheese. Okay. Now, it's my job. I'll go get the cottage cheese. I was going to say I'd go get it. You can come with me, Robert. Okay.
What a couple of numbskulls.
You said it right there. I'll tell you that. So, anyway, General Shaw, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, right. I'll tell you what right now, Santos. You're trying to pretend like you're a cop. You ain't no cop.
I've got the constitutional right to sell lives and go out and I flare drop. Man, I got it going on. Not only do I flare drop, I have got my sub-commanders going through people's underwear drawers. I've got people greasing up tires. I got what you want to call, we got our speed traps, you know. We also go into restaurants and overhear people, make sure they're talking about the right stuff. Anybody who's dressed up like they're a badass going into A-Team, we make sure they've had military. Otherwise, we tell them to go home and get dressed or something else. So I think we're doing very, very well indeed. And you know we have a number of other, you know, citizen auxiliary police places that are besides this one.
Well, tell me about it. I want to know another one.
I think, yes. Just give us, for instance, D.C. You said there's a new...
All right. Well, that's right. The D.C. Deputy Department. That's a whole new citizen auxiliary police style in Washington, D.C. It's all about Flavor Wives.
What are you doing with the voice and the swallowing of the L?
I said I come from Baltimore. That's what they do.
Well, you don't have to exaggerate it like that. Good God almighty. Should we take a phone call?
Oh, that might be a great idea. We'll take a phone call. I think we've got one or two people hanging on the line right now. Let's go to line three. Oh, look, it's Mavis Leonard. Hello, Mavis. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing real good. I'm sitting here in my house, and I wanted to call up, but I got to go get myself a Henry Weinhard. And I love a drink of Henry Weinhard, you know, because it's just something good.
What the hell? What's wrong? Are you all right, ma'am?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just kicking. Hey, Jay Thanos, why don't you come over here and clean up this street over here? I got a lot of punks and a lot of reprobates running around. I got to split and go get myself some breakfast over at Carl's Jr., you know.
Breakfast at Carl's Jr.? That sounds like a great idea. The only problem is it's 7 o'clock at night.
Well, I don't have to take advice from you. I'm going to go get some breakfast.
Yeah, you do that. Go get some breakfast. But let me tell you something. Before I leave, Mavis, you're an elderly woman, so you've got to watch what you're doing out there.
I know what I'm doing. I take extra special precaution to
extra special, huh?
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mavis.
Yes, Mavis. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Mavis.
Okay.
So there is, there's a concerned citizen there, Jay. A lot of the elderly in some of these more dangerous neighborhoods are very much at risk, wouldn't you say?
You know something, Phil, is no question about it. A lot of the elderly are at risk. But I can assure you that we let the citizens' auxiliary police spread out, and man, we spread it. Now, when I say spread it, I know a lot of people, they get all kinds of fancy ideas, you know, try to act like a jackpot.
Yeah, huh? That's pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It is pretty funny.
Yeah. You gotta spread it.
Oh, stop. Why don't you grow up, for God's sake? Grow up.
All right, you guys, just ease back for a second.
I say spread out. You hear how filthy the minds are of the people that work for you, Mr. Henry? The dirty, filthy minds.
Well, Jay, you have often talked to us about the spread, and I only can blame... The other day when we were talking about Kellyanne Conway, you kept talking about the spread. And we weren't talking about the bedding spread, either.
Hey, that's a pretty good one, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, that's pretty good, Mr. Henry.
Thank you very much.
Oh, well, Phil, no, we're not trying to get laughs here. We're trying to make a very big point.
Hey, I talk about the lo-fi spread. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about Kellyanne Conway. I'm talking about taking a dirty, greasy punk and pushing him up against the wall and saying, spread it. That's what we do at a Citizen's Auxiliary Police. And I gotta go check in with Major Elvis Newton and make sure I'm doing all that shit, excuse my language, make sure I'm doing all that stuff right.
Boy, I'll tell you, for a police officer, you sure are free with the language.
Man, where do you get off using a word like that here on the program?
Yeah, that's right. Mr. Henry's the one who's gonna get fined by the FCC.
Hey, man, there's no FCC. You don't have to worry about that.
Are you sure?
What?
There's no FCC, not for digital.
Yes, there's no FCC for digital, so both of you clowns, just back it off.
Yes, you heard what Mr. Henry said.
All right, well, that's fine, but, you know, I think what Mr. Henry did say there about watching language is always very, very smart.
Well, that is true. We want people to watch their language. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us. Tell me about Major Elvis Newton. Where did you meet him?
Where did I meet Elvis? Well, I'll tell you the story. It's a very great story, Mr. Henry. I was living on a street down here in Torrance, and there was an elderly fellow at the end of the street that always needed his garbage cans taken in. So I went down, I'd always take his garbage cans in, and one day he waved me into the house. I saw kind of a skinny, withered hand beckoning me from the kitchen through a screen door. And I went over there, and I walked in, and I saw just the silhouette of an old man. He was sitting in a den. It was mustard-colored shag carpeting, a darkened den with only the flickering light of a television set. And as I said, that the silhouette of this old man wearing a baseball cap, some mangy mutt sitting next to him, and he had a pall-mall going in his fingers. He also had a pall-mall going in a...
What's a pall-mall? Jesus, what's that about?
Don't you know anything, man? That's a cigarette.
Okay, so what about it? I don't smoke no cigarettes.
Be quiet. If you don't smoke no cigarettes, don't worry about it.
Yes, continue, please, if you don't mind, Jay.
Yeah, certainly. So he had a pall-mall going. And he waved me over and said, Jay, I've been watching you. And naturally, of course, I was thinking, well, is this guy eyeballing me for you know, it's a natural feeling. He eyeballed me for the sex. And, of course, I was very wary of that.
Are you kidding me or something? Oh, God. You think that the old man was eyeballing you for sex, action?
Hey, you know, let me just say something to you, Ms. Gray. You don't know, as a citizen auxiliary policeman, I gotta be on the lookout for all kind of weird perv kind of stuff, you know?
Well, you know, that's not bad, a bad idea. I could see, if I was in a citizen's police, I wouldn't want to get groped or gripped or anything like that.
Are you kidding me, man? You're not gonna get groped or gripped in a citizen's auxiliary police. That's an old man sitting there with a Pall Mall cigarette.
So, what's that got to do with anything? Guys that smoke cigarettes, they can perv out just as easy as anyone else.
Would you two please shut your holes before I put my fist in both of them?
As I was saying...
Yes, go ahead.
As I was saying, so I went on and he said, Jay Santos, I want you to form for me a citizen's auxiliary police. Of course, I was humbled. I felt very... I was frightened. But I acknowledged General Major Newton. And I said, by the way, what's your name? He said, I'm Major Elvis Newton. And then he waved me out of his house. And I wanted to keep talking, but he just kept waving his arm like, get out. And even the dog, the little mangy mutt, sort of sat up and looked at me with his cold, I'll never forget this dog as long as I live. I'm in a darkened den, and the dog looks at me with cold red eyes that just beam through the darkness.
Oh, for God's sake, that sounds ridiculous.
Are you putting me on? Oh.
You're kidding, right?
Would I kid you? No, I'm not kidding. Let me tell you something. I wasn't trained to bullcrap people. I come from Bible War. So...
We're talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police here today on the Margaret Gray Player segment of the Phil Henry Show about the founding and formation of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And also, of course, the elderly. We wanted to talk about the elderly and the advice that you had given to Mavis there.
That's right. If Mavis, if you're listening, or any elderly people, you got a problem, you get the Citizens Auxiliary Police on it. We're going to be all over that.
Yes, but how do they contact you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think you even have a phone number.
Don't worry about it, Dickman. We have a phone number, and we will publish that very, very soon. Right now, I just got to double check it, make sure it works. We had it installed on Friday. So,
what are you saying? Are you saying this is an emergency line, like 911?
No, it doesn't replace 911. I would never want anybody to replace 911. But in case 911 doesn't pick up, or they get the directions messed up, you can call this number.
Are you kidding? There's no way the 911 gets the directions messed up.
Yeah, they never get that messed up. That's why they're 911.
Well, yes, I would have to agree. It's one and only time I would agree with these two knuckleheads.
Oh, really? You don't think 911? One time a friend of mine called 911, and somebody answered and said, some kind of a janitorial service. And I said, what? And he said to me, I'm bleeding out like a stuck hog, and I just called a janitorial service. And I said, well, what number did you call? And he gave me 7 digits, the last 3 of which were 911. And I said, are you an idiot? Are you an idiot? You know.
All right, well, don't get excited, Jay.
I'm not getting excited, so... And I said, you're lucky you're alive today. And he said to me, you call this living. So...
All right, Jay.
So I would like...
Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, Bud Dickman.
Hey! Wow, Mr. Henry, that was the stupidest thing that I ever heard.
What in blue blazes is Jay Santos? Somebody has to do something about him. He's such a jacked up, weirded out, freak ball of a guy, you know?
Well, no question about that, Margaret. And every now and again, I think we all agree on one thing or another, and Jay Santos is a real, real weird ass. All right, coming up here on the Margaret Gray Players of the Phil Henry Show, excuse me. Oh, Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton from West Virginia on the goings-ons there at the West Virginia State House. We'll be right back.
Well, famous Phil Henry Show from El Pacifico in Southern California. We'll be right back. Gargoyle chewing gum. Just pop it in your mouth and the rest is strange. Gargoyle chewing gum is made of 5 different herbs, all of them extracts from trees in Europe. Most of these trees are extinct today, but the rosin and the resins and the juices that flow have been preserved by archaeologists and pathologists, forensic pathologists and archaeological pathology and nuclear science peoples. Gargoyle chewing gum. Pop it in your mouth and you'll feel like something from underneath the soil. Gargoyle chewing gum. Pop it in your mouth and you'll feel like something from underneath the soil. Ain't that what you want? No. Gargoyle chewing gum in 5 different colors. Not flavors, colors. They all taste the same, but they're 5 different colors, so it fakes people out. Gargoyle chewing gum.
When you want to chew, you ain't got...
Let's see.
When you want to chew a tasty gum, You have got to get up and run. You need something that'll make you feel like you come from underneath a field.
Gargoyle.
Chewing gum.
Holy fuck.
That's my son, Terry. Isn't he cute? That baby is the most important thing on God's earth to me. That's why I feed him sawmill baby food. Sawmill baby food. Sawmill baby food has 16 ingredients, all intended for the enrichment and the happiness of a baby. So that when you feed your baby into a sawmill...
No,
I said when you feed your baby sawmill, not into a sawmill. That was a...
Freudian slip.
It was a Freudian slip. We may have to do the commercial again.
But we don't have time. We're doing it live.
Oh, for Christ. When you feed your baby sawmill, remember... Sawmill. Saw... What did I saw a mill. Sawmill. It ain't just for babies no more.
Sawmill baby food. Goddamn good. Since 1861.
They started the baby food company...
Who are you anyway, man?
They started the baby food company at the beginning of World War... Of the Civil War.
Who are you? Who are you?
I'm the man that has no reason for being.
Because you're creeping me out.
They started a baby food company...
Yes!
In the Civil War.
Took my time to soak you in.
World-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. I'm Robert Leonard. We got Margaret Gray. Margaret, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Robert.
And Bud Dickman.
Hey, everybody, I'm Bud.
And now here's Phil Henry.
Well, all right, thank you very, very much. And welcome back here to the program. Well, a couple of our good buddies, as you know, and they have been with us from time to time. On the program are Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton. They're in Charleston, West Virginia, and we're going to talk to them right now. I know Kurt is generally leading the way, and Guy is generally over there at Rosie's getting a couple of gobbles, so we'll find out who we have on the line. Who do we have on the line here?
Phil, this is Kurt Queedy, y'all, and we are indeed at Rosie's. Here he comes right now. This is Guy Barton.
Hello, this is Guy Barton, and I tell you, Phil.
All right. Well, let me ask the two of you, this time last year, you had just come from a very disappointing debate on gun ownership in West Virginia.
That is true, yes, that is true. And I tell you, Phil, it's cracked up, man, you know, very cracked up.
Well, there is no question about it. The gun ownership in West Virginia is all messed up. We worked our tails off. And I can tell you, lickety-split. But there's no way that we were able, two guys, me and Kurt, no way we were able to go up against the legislature. Although, we had the governor's back on that one.
Now, that's interesting. So the governor was in favor of that.
Oh, I would think that you were doing very good work then, at least supporting the governor.
Yeah, I wonder why it didn't pass.
Well, it didn't pass because we got a lot of guys that are dead from the neck up here in the West Virginia legislature. But I'll tell you right now, I'll do my very best, lickety split.
Yes, that's right. I will too, Phil, to try to get the guns out of West Virginia.
You know, it seems to me though that West Virginia is a traditional place. It is a place where the ownership of guns used in obviously in the procurement of food and protection, it seems more organic in a state like West Virginia.
A lot of people are going to tell you that, but I can tell you, me, Guy Barton, that my constituents are very urban, you know.
Oh, that's right. You know, you're talking about the suburbans, or I should say rural, and a lot of rural people like that, and yes, of course. But we're trying to get people weaned off the guns here in West Virginia, and let's get with it, man. Let's have a big city attitude about this. We got coppers. I'm paying big tax money for the cop.
Yeah, what about that? We pay for the big tax money for the cop.
Well, of course, and I agree with you. But I think Phil's point is very well made that...
You talk about a point being well made. What do you do, knit it?
You're a real ass.
Break it up, break it up.
Hey, what are you guys? You guys are pulling it over there, huh?
We're not pulling anything, all right? Continue.
Well, as I said... this is a state that has to sort of change its ways. Yes, sir? Change its ways and become a new urban state. Ain't that right, Guy?
Yeah, we have to become a new urban state. I don't want people laughing at West Virginia, as we always have, and are saying, you know, West Virginia and all the Billies. See, my district, Phil, I represent more Billies. Oh, man.
Now, there's no question about that. Poor old guy, he's got more Billies in his district, man. And I bet you know the rest of the state put together.
That's right. So I have to go into these homes every time I run for re-election. I have to knock on the door. Hey, it's Guy Barton. And I meet about six guys in overalls with those big freaking elephant guns. Shit.
It's a bummer.
No, we want to educate people.
Well, education is a good thing. So here we are a year later after that groundbreaking gun legislation. What's the crime like in West Virginia? How are things out there?
I know I have the statistics somewhere.
Hey, you don't even know what the statistics are.
Yeah, sounds like you guys have got your thumbs parked, you know, right up there.
Oh, well, I'm very loath to agree with the boys, but it does sound that way.
Hey, I don't have my thumb parked. God, what a thing to say.
Hey, let me tell you, the only thing my thumb is parked on is the trigger. Well, you know what?
What is that?
I think it's one of those elephant guns. Anyway,
Well, do you know or don't you?
No, we don't.
Yeah, we were busy.
You were busy doing what?
We're over here at Roses. We're waiting for another one of those big jugs.
See, they're at Roses, and...
Well, what is Roses? They go over there to get dessert from some girl with enormous breasts, is that it?
That's what it sounds like to me. Yes, Margaret.
I'm sorry, but there isn't a whole lot for kids around here, okay? There's not a whole lot for kinks around here.
Hey, Phil, you know, and I think I gotta go take a guy and hose him off. you know, and just, you know.
Yeah, you gotta better hose that guy. Give him a cold shower. Sounds like he needs it. No question about it.
All right, well, hose him off, but I don't want you two on this program again until you have your stuff together.
I think we've had our stuff together, but tonight, 1 year after that groundbreaking gun legislation, and I can't even give you no statistics, because all I've been doing is hanging out here at Rosie's and getting myself a double gobble. Jeez.
Yeah, that's our life.
Well, maybe it's time for you guys to quit the West Virginia legislature and get out and do something new.
That is a very good point. Why don't you go to the big city or something like that?
I'm not going to leave my constituents to the mercies of some guy in overalls with an elephant gun. Shit.
Yeah, that's not me, Guy Barton. I can tell you that.
All right, well, thank you very much, both of you, for being on the program.
Dave, you know what you should do, Phil, is nice to have hated to interrupt you.
Oh, go ahead.
You should have a prize. Say, thank you both for being here, and for your trouble, here is like a tennis racket or something like that.
Hey, that's not a bad idea. Give us a tennis racket, something like that.
How about if I give you just a bag of chewing gum, something, or a candy bar?
Boy.
That's pretty cheesy. I guess you don't have budget for that, huh?
No, I guess I don't.
What business is it of yours anyway?
We come on this program gratis every time we...
There they are, Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton, and, of course, their appearance here today. 1 year anniversary of the major gun legislation, so I guess we'll have to look that one up, bud.
Huh? What'd you say?
I said I guess we'll have to look... Oh, forget it.
He's trying to tell you to look up the gun legislation that they have in West Virginia.
Gun legislation in Virginia?
What do you think we were just talking about?
Are you an idiot or something?
Oh, okay. I will.
Oh, my God. We'll be back here, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, right after these very important announcements.
How long will your underwear last? Have you ever thought about it? How long can a pair of underwear actually last in your drawer and on you? We thought about it at Womb to Tomb Underwear, and we came up with the answer. From the minute you're born until the minute you drop, your underwear should be good to go. That's why at Womb to Tomb Underwear, we guarantee that if you put this underwear on as an infant, sure, it'll be a little bit smaller, but it does stretch, and that's the beautiful thing about Womb to Tomb Underwear. You can put on an infant's underwear, and it stretches and grows with you, even if you put on 600 pounds. That means... At the time you're born until the time you die from cardiac arrest because you're 800 pounds, the underwear has expanded with you. It doesn't tear, it doesn't rip, it doesn't stain. Womb to Tomb Underwear. We swear to God. We swear to God. We just haven't had anybody live that long. Won't you live that long, please, and prove to all of our detractors and the people that doubt us, we're serious about underwear at Womb to Tomb.
Womb to Tomb Underwear.
Ding! For the serious man. Hey, Hector Mew Missile here for Chloe's Barbells. I'm trying to beef the guns up, get the chest good, want to get my stomach just that big six-pack, that washboard. Chloe's Barbells is where I shop. When you go to Chloe's Barbells, she'll give you a set of barbells that are guaranteed to thicken the neck, the arms, the thighs, the leg, both inner and outer. That's why when I go to Chloe's Barbells, I always say, you better give me a thick neck in 30 days or know the reason why. And they always say, you're on, brother, you're on. At Chloe's Barbells, what did I say my name was, by the way?
You're taking so many steroids, I think it's blown out that part of your brain that controls memory.
It doesn't matter. Chloe's Barbells. Go there now, get some, thicken the neck and the head. And you can shock and amaze your friends because your neck is wider than the top of your head, but you're pretty smart. Not really, but pretty.
Chloe's Barbells.
Do you ever think of me?
It's Tim Buckley.
Yes, it is. This is Tim Buckley, and dolphins like this song.
You really like this guy, Tim Buckley, don't you, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, he's pretty good. He sounds like he's like a poet.
Tim Buckley was one of the greatest singers, songwriters in the history of American music, and unfortunately, he met a very tragic end.
Oh, let me guess. Was it drugs?
Don't be so flip about it, Margaret.
Well,
I believe it was, yes. And he had a son, Jeff Buckley, and, well...
Yeah, I think he wound up the same way, Mr. Henry, right?
I don't know. I'm not keeping track. Anyway, welcome back here to our program. My thanks to Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton. But guess what? It's time for our friend Ted Bell.
Oh, good. Go back to Ted's. I always like going there, except I don't like Ted's, all the idiotic things he talks about.
Steakhouse, come on down.
Ted? Are you there, Ted?
Yeah, I'm right here at Ted Bell's. Ted Beverly Hills. I'm Ted Bell.
All right, good. I didn't know what happened to you there, Ted. I trust you're doing all right.
I'm doing fantastic, Bill. And this is Ted Bell, and I want everybody to come down and have a piece of meat. And
what do you mean have a piece of meat? You mean a steak?
That's right. Have a steak. And come in, and Ted's Beverly Hills is always open. We have our primary room where people sing and dance, and they sing and dance the night away. And I'll be there, and you'll know me because I wear those big Hollywood-type eyeglasses, and I got buck teeth.
Well, there's no need, Ted, to start denigrating yourself.
Yes, Ted, why would you do that?
Hey, I know why he does it, because he's got the bucked-out beaver teeth.
You know something, Dickman? I don't need you weighing in on it. In fact, if I need your opinion for anything, it's time for me to go ahead and pop my cork, man. It's over.
What do you mean by popping your cork? Yeah, what's that supposed to mean?
I'm talking about suicide, friend. I'm talking about the end of the road, man. I'm talking about taking it, leaving it, dumping it right there, getting on the next bus, and head northbound.
All right. Thank you, Ted. That's very great. And it's so wonderful to know that you're in such a good mood.
Oh, my goodness, Ted. Are you feeling good?
I'm feeling fine. Everything's good. Hey, Rudy Canosa is over here. Want to talk to Rudy, Phil?
Sure. Where is Rudy?
Rudy, come on over here. That's Rudy Canosa. Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Well, good, Rudy. What are the specialty drinks tonight there at the Ted's of Beverly Hills Bar?
Hey, you want to address me because I'm the owner. Hey, let me tell you something. You're the owner, okay? But I bought the bar. I got 100% of the bar.
No, you don't. You got 75%. I take 25% out. How many times do I have to tell you, spick-ass, that? And every...
Oh, man, what I would... I just knocked him cold, that ass. You will never speak to me, Rudy, like that again.
Well, did you really?
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm here. We always work that up. It's always kind of a fun thing to do.
Well, I'd rather you not use that word, that very indelicate and offensive word, for any of your comedy.
I should say not. That's laughing at that sort of thing shows that you have the same mentality of people that use that word.
I don't understand. How come we can't say the N or the S word every now and again? Oh, you want to say the N word, huh? Go ahead, step up to the plate and say it.
I'm not... God, what a bunch of...
What a bunch of babies.
Bud, I'm going to explain this to you for the last time. We don't use those words for humor.
Mr. Henry, are you done giving your lecture, your sermon for today?
I got to tell you something, Mr. Henry. I got to agree with Ted. You're giving your sermon.
All right, I won't give my sermon, but I will tell you I know what I want on my program. Now, we were talking about what?
We were talking about the specialty drinks here at... I've got phlegm in my... the specialty drinks here at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
What the hell is wrong with you, Rudy? Going, yeah.
I've got phlegm.
Well, what kind of special drinks?
Well, we've got the Ted. We have the Tedlet. We have the Teddy Mary. We have the...
What is a Teddy Mary?
Yes, what is that?
That's vodka and tomato juice.
What? What are you talking about? That's just like a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, that's what they call a Bloody Mary, Mr. Henry.
I know that.
Well, at Ted's of Beverly Hills, it's called a Teddy Mary. The Tedlet is also a delicious.
Hey, what is the Tedlet?
We haven't heard from you, General.
I was outside trying to find some damn cottage cheese and get my underwear rinsed out, all kinds of things.
Get your underwear rinsed out?
What do you mean by the Tedlet? I want to know.
Well, a Tedlet is just like a gimlet, you see? But the gimlet is like a Tedlet. I don't know.
That doesn't make any difference. It's a gimlet.
The other drink we have, of course, is the Ted. And I think you know what that is.
Yeah, I think I know what that is. That is the Ted is Captain Morgan's and Coke. Just a rum and Coke.
Yes, that's right.
You see, what I think is going on there, Canoza, and you too, Bell, you're scamming people, and you're making these people look like a bunch of freaks. Gonna get their asses kicked by the circumstances of life walking in that restaurant.
I want to tell you something there, General. You ought to just calm down, okay? Just get your wig unwilted, man. You know, tighten your curls back up again, because this place rocks the shit off.
Ted, you said a dirty word, man.
Don't I know it?
Well, I think that we should leave then, because obviously things are not under control.
One of the things you ought to do, Ted, is to be on the lookout for the Dunphy brothers.
Oh, the Dunphy brothers, I could kick their asses.
Hey, Ted, how you doing? This is Tom Dunphy, one of the Dunphy brothers.
Hey, how you doing? Uh-oh.
Yeah, think you're going to kick my ass. Watch this.
Yeah! Well, it sounds to me like Ted Bell just got his ass kicked by... How you doing, by the way, Mr. Dunphy?
I'm doing real good. Make me a drink.
I better go and make him a drink.
All right, and where's Ted?
Sounded like he was dropped out of an airplane.
Well, he got launched.
He got launched.
That's all I'm going to say, yes.
Thank you very, very much, Ted Bell and Rudy Canoza. Rudy? Rudy.
Well, and you know...
I guess he isn't there.
Well, I thought I heard him there at the last second.
Yeah, he was there, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, I thought I heard that too. No, he wasn't there at the last second. He was just trying to, you know, get pick the phone up and say something stupid.
Well, again, it is good to see you here, General. And you were outside rinsing out your shorts and doing what?
I was looking for cottage cheese. You understand the concept of cottage cheese, don't you?
Yes, I understand the concept of cottage cheese. All right, coming up, folks, we have Steve Bozell and a new employee there at B&B Construction. That is Chris Norton. We'll be back here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Famous Phil Henry Show is going to be right back here from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
I'm Bud Dickman.
I'm Margaret Gray.
Well, I'm Bud Dickman.
I'm Margaret Gray.
When you come through the door, what's the first thing you think about? Heading for the refrigerator to see if your wife stocked up on Sinister Cheese.
Sinister!
Sinister Cheese. It's delicious. Slice off a chunk, eat it just like that. Put it between two slices of bread. Put it on a cracker. Stick it in your nose, in your ear. That's right. You can do all things with Sinister Cheese.
The only cheese that is used also as a building material.
Sinister Cheese.
Sinister Cheese.
So next time your wife goes to the store, tell her, hey, honey, we're out of Sinister Cheese. And she'll say, yes, we've been out of it for 5 years. And you'll say, wow, it's been that long? And she'll say, that's the beauty of Sinister Cheese. The stink lingers in your nose, your mouth, all over you. Didn't you notice? Nobody's coming over to visit. Didn't you notice? No one's coming over to visit. And you'll say, no, I didn't.
Sinister Cheese. Get it.
Well, we got the kids the pet, and they are enjoying it, aren't they?
Yes, they are. I'm so glad we got Hell on Earth Hamster Chow.
Hell on Earth Hamster Chow. Feed it to the hamster, and they'll never need anything else. Your hamster will go nuts for Hell on Earth.
Hell on Earth Hamster Chow has all the ingredients to make a hamster go from, well, small to the size of a dog.
Hell on Earth Hamster Chow. It's in the nutrients.
Famous Phil Hendry show from El Pacifico in Southern California. I am Margaret Gray, and I return you now to Phil Hendry.
Thank you very... Oh, Lord.
Hey, what the hell is going on with that damn Satan music? I told you about that stuff.
General, this is the new music.
Yeah, you know, this is a great band. They're called Amity Affliction. I've heard about them. You don't listen to them. You listen to hip-hop. I listen to all kinds of music, you dumbass.
Break it up. It is Amity Affliction, and that's a song that's called Don't Lean on Me. And I suppose they mean you, General, and you, Margaret.
What are you doing? What I'm talking about? They mean me.
Well, what does that mean?
Because they can't lean on you. Your taste in music obviously would leave those boys dangling from a 15th story.
Okay, Phil, nice one.
Well, you don't both go home and think about that one.
I don't need to think about it. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we want to get with Steve Bozell. Mr. Bozell has hired Chris Norton. They're at B&B Construction right now out in Diamond Bar, California. So let's see what can be heard, what can be seen. So let's go out to Steve Bozell and a new employee out there, Chris Norton. Steve, how are you doing?
Hi, Mr. Hendry. This is Steve Bozell and everything. And I'm out here at the construction site with my new employee, and that's Chris Norton. Chris, how you doing?
Mr. Hendry, I'm doing real good. I'm just hanging. As you know, I need money to make my new Seth movie, and that's why I come to work for you.
Oh, wow. Did you just call me Mr. Hendry?
Oh, I mean Mr. Bozell.
Yeah, I'm Mr. Hendry.
Oh, boy, you've got a real brain surgeon there, Mr. Bozell.
Wow. I mean, I don't know all that much about construction. All I know is I need money to make my Seth movie.
Now, where do you live, Chris? Because I got to be able to contact you, okay? My wife, April Jr., sometimes wants me to come home, or I got to go to my kid's school or talk to my attorney, Dolores Blazegame, you know?
What's the name again? Doris Blazegame?
Well, yeah.
Is she tasty? Maybe she wants to climb it.
Boy, buddy, you're barking up the wrong tree on that one, man.
Oh, barking up a tree, I see. So she's like some kind of a tree rodent.
Yeah. Anyway, you want to do construction?
Yeah, I want to do construction for to make the Seth movie. My sexual energy might come in handy to do it.
Okay, well, what I'm going to do is put Chris Norton here, Mr. Hendry, through a lot of the paces, you know, as a labor apprentice and stuff like that.
Well, and you'd have him digging ditches and things like that?
Wait just a second. Hold the phone. I mean, you understand that if I'm doing work for you and this kind, that kind of work that I might injure, well, I might injure an area that is vital to the CES. So what kind of insurance...
Hey, what are you talking about, man, insurance in getting injured for the theft?
Well, what if I sprain my penis? See, there's a limit.
And I think that just about finishes that. So...
Hey, what are you doing? Oh, my God, you hung up very prematurely on them.
Well, what do you care? He's talking about spraining his penis. That's the dumbest thing that I ever heard in my life. I waste more time on this dingus show of yours, Mr. Hendry. Crazy stuff, just crazy.
Well, I don't know, Mr. Hendry. I think you were right to hang up on him.
I know I was right to hang up on him, talking about spraining a penis.
Wait a second. I've got him on the phone. Hello? Yeah? Mr. Hendry's mad. Mr. Hendry's mad. Mr. Hendry's mad.
Well, please, tell him I'm really sorry about that.
All right, Chris. I mean, Jeff. I mean, Steve.
I'm Steve Bozell.
Yeah, and I'm Chris Norton. Anyway, as I was saying...
Yeah.
I want to ask you a question, Chris, by the way.
You want to ask you a question?
I want to ask you a question. aren't you producing a film called Norton Mountain?
Well, that's exactly right. That's why I'm working for Mr. Bozell to try to get the money to finish it. It will be one of the major Seth experiences.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is weird as weird gets, but I'm figuring dude can work for me for a little bit.
All right, well, Norton Mountain, you had a tweet on Twitter where you were inviting Melania Trump to, quote, climb it.
That's right. She can climb it, and, you know.
Oh, man, I'll tell you something right now, man. You are an arrogant SOB, you know.
What, are you a Trump fan?
Got nothing to do with it, man. I was talking about you thinking Melania Trump's going to climb it.
You know what a coup that would be, man, if I was able to get Melania Trump to climb it? What I'm thinking of is have her go, yeah, I'll go, hey, you know you want it. You know you want it.
You know, something, man, Donald Trump's going to kick your ass.
Oh, yeah, right. That'll be the day.
Don't be so sure, young man. Donald Trump will find you and beat your ass.
Yeah, if Donald Trump doesn't find you, I will find you. I'll beat your ass myself.
You guys are violent and everything. You don't understand that Seth is the way to save the world. I'm trying to save the world with a Seth.
Yeah, all right, man. Before you save the world with sex, would you mind picking that shovel up and digging a ditch?
Fuck that, man. You know, I've been...
Excuse me. Mr. Henry, I'm going to have to beat this dude's ass before any of you do that. So this is Steve Bozell. Where are you going?
I'm getting out of here. I know you want to kick my ass.
This is Steve Bozell. Hey.
Bye.
Well, it sounds like someone caught someone there.
It depends what you mean by caught.
Yeah, no kidding. As in catching a STD or something like that.
Man, that's not what that was about or anything.
You know what's up, man? Being on this program, I can guarantee I'm going to hear some kind of dirty, filthy talk sometime in the middle of the night. There you go. You just did it for me.
Well, I hope you enjoyed it.
Drop your ass. Kick your ass around the block for Trill.
Oh, for goodness sake. World famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for CMPRE Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. Playing the part of Margaret Gray this evening was me, Buff Dickman.
And playing the part of Phil Henry this evening was me, Margaret Gray.
And playing the part of Robert Leonard was me, Phil Henry.
And playing the part of that dumbass Bud Dickman is me, General Galen Shaw.
And playing the part... Oh, I already did mine, yeah.